Fred Film Radio, San Sebastian Film Festival, Spain.
Fred Film Radio, I'm David Martos. This is the 67th edition of San Sebastian Film Festival, and we're with Tim Roth, lead protagonist in The Song of Names, closing film for the official selection. Tim, the film talks about a story that is always reflecting itself on the Holocaust. It talks about memory, right? Wouldn't you say so?
You mean history by memory? Do you mean... Yeah. I thought it was an intriguing way of examining the Holocaust up to a point, but then examining the journey that two children make and into their manhood and so on. So I thought it worked on a couple of levels. I liked the idea of being outside of Dovidel's journey, of being a tourist in a sense, and looking in and trying to learn and trying to understand why he did what he did. And I liked the journey and the chase of that. As a story structure, as a piece of writing, I thought it was an interesting journey to go on. So I thought I'd jump in. And, yeah.
What's your connection with the Treblinka concentration camp?
Yeah, I mean, my father had a connection with the Second World War. He was a rear gunner in bombers through his childhood and into his 20s, I suppose. Wow, that's weird. I hadn't thought of that. And so when war broke out in Europe, he joined the RAF, the Royal Air Force. But he was an American child that came to England and grew up working in the factories there, and then he joined underage the Air Force. So, and then he went to war and he saw what he saw, and it changed him, and it radically changed him. And he talked a little about what he saw, and then he took a Jewish name when he came back. He changed his name from Smith to Roth. And so it was a discussion that was being had in our household with regards to politics, with regards to religion, which we grew up on, and we were a part of his being, you know, a part of his life, I suppose. That intrigued me. I'd been to Auschwitz, I'd been to Birkenau, I'd never been to Treblinka, although I had heard the stories about that place and had read the stories of that place. And then this happened. This film came to me, and we worked on the script, and we worked on the story, in a sense, because my character originally was Jewish, and we changed that. It was I thought it would be better to not understand and then try to understand rather than be on the inside looking out. So I liked the idea of trying to understand that religion, trying to understand what happened, you know, and yet being and yet still the love affair between the two men. So I didn't expect to feel the way that I felt when we went to Treblinka, even though I knew, even though I had studied it, even though I talked to people in preparation for this, I didn't expect to feel the way that I felt. It was truly remarkable. And so never again, I doubt it. I think it's coming.
Would you say you like being an actor, your life as an actor, preparing roles, then executing them?
I don't know. Yes. It's been an incredible and wild ride. I've done shit movies and good ones and average ones, and you know, I don't mind. I've done television, I've done streaming, I've done radio plays when I started. It's fine. It's all good. Everything is good. Employ me. I like it. So it's been extraordinary. On the preparation front, it depends on the movie. Some you actually intentionally do no preparation at all. You just walk right into the role and try and make the acting of it as invisible as possible, and as mundane as possible, and ordinary as possible. And that's quite often a huge challenge. Some you need to do all kinds of weird internal preparation or physical or career preparation. The one thing I will tell you, and that always changes. That always changes. One thing I will say is I don't take it seriously. I'm not a method actor. I don't live the character. I work at switching the character on and switching the character off at any given time. I prefer my life to be not complicated by the method of it all. As far as I'm concerned, each character requires a different method, I suppose.
When are you able to identify when a bad movie is going to be a bad movie?
There are some of the bad movies that I've done that I knew as soon as I opened the first page of the script. Oh, yeah. You absolutely know, but sometimes you just have to do it because you've got to, you know, pay the rent. So that's just the gig. But yeah, you know. In fact, sometimes before they even send them over, you know. Ah, shit. It just happens. It's just life. And then the good ones, it's less obvious. Because a good movie is your guys' perception, the audience. But I'll tell you, when I worked with Made in Britain at the very beginning, when I worked on Meantime with Mike Lee, when I worked with Quentin, when I worked with Altman, Coppola, all those guys, you kind of felt that they were going to be good. There was one time when me and Harvey Keitel were filming the final piece of Reservoir Dogs, and we were covered in blood, and we were walking back from the location just to the makeup traders so they could hose us down. And Harvey said, what do you think? I think this is kind of good. What do you think? And I went, yeah, I think this is pretty good. He went, don't jinx it. And it was. But you felt it. And it wasn't. And that was a case of you started reading the script and you knew immediately there's somebody good in the back of this. And then you met him and it's crazy. And so driven, and then you're on set, and it's still working. I mean, it was a roller coaster, but it was real. You knew.
We read that you shot some lines for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for Tarantino.
Oh yeah.
And you ended up cut out of the film. Why?
Okay, so it's a good story. I like it. So it was. I just did one little sequence, like two scenes. And it's a good character. I'm not going to tell you what it was because I'll let him, just in case he wants to release all of the cut scenes. There were many, 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 many. When he originally edited the film together, and I saw it in his editing studio. It was 8 hours long or something. Very much Quentin thing. So, and he had to make a decision. So he made that decision. He was going to follow the two guys and Sharon Tate, and that was everyone else was just going to fall away. So it's fine. I got over it. And then my other son worked on the film. He was an assistant. He was Brad Pitt's assistant. He was Pacino's assistant. He did all of them. He had the most amazing journey working on that film. And he took his brother along to see the film, final film, projected on film, in the arc light, which is a character in the film.
Yes.
And so he was the first. I heard about the billing that I have in the film from my boys, and it's up there at the quite close to the front, I think, and it's Tim Roth cut. Is the billing. And I'd heard that I was cut from Quentin when I went to see the movie, and he showed me the scenes that I'd done, and he was very proud of them, but it was done. But hearing that from my boys was like, and also that's a typical Quentin joke. That's like, that's his sense of humour right there, to put you up there, cut. Loved it. So I'm in it. That means I'm still in it.
Thanks so much. I'm David Martos, and this was an interview with Tim Roth for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.